beginning of our 4th of July week and the Independence Day celebration. And I want to thank you for being here. Before we get into the message, I want to share a couple of opportunities for service. You know that serving the Lord is the highest of all services you can do. And it's not reserved for pastors and deacons and things like that. It's really every Christian's job and opportunity to serve. And we have some opportunities for service. The 4- and 5-year-old Sunday school class, which is little children, precious little kids, Connie needs some help in there. This morning she had 17. Yeah, that makes everybody to be surrounded by 17 4- and 5-year-olds. It's almost terrifying. Imagine being there all alone. You'd be overwhelmed. Yeah, like Custer's last stand with no hope. She needs some help. So if you'd pray about that, if you're a couple or a gal that would like to help in that class, she could use some help. Because that's a great problem to have. Praise God for that. That's an awesome problem to have. The other opportunity is one of the cleaning teams, Brother Pete's cleaning team. Pete, where are you at? Where's Pete at? There he is. Well, that's not Pete. Okay. So Debbie is Pete's other half, and she can speak on his behalf. Speak to Debbie and let them know you'd love to help with their cleaning team. They need one more person, one more couple on their cleaning team to help as well. And so that being said, let's take some time now to consider some things. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods, and it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated. Thomas Paine. Since the founding of our country, 41,892,128 people have served in the U.S. military. Total. Of those, 1,319,943 servicemen have given their lives, have died. 1,319,943 for the cause of freedom. Another 1,430,290 have received non-mortal wounds. In that same time, since the founding of our country, 21,541 law enforcement officers have been killed in the line of duty, defending the Constitution and the freedoms therein here at home. In a single year, there are over 58,000 assaults on law enforcement officers, whose number one job, as they swear in their oath of office, is to protect the Constitution and the freedoms therein. I'd like to do a little simple example. Could I get some men to stand shoulder to shoulder in the center aisle from the start of that platform to the back door? So guys, get some guys, stand up here, shoulder to shoulder, facing that way. Just like you're at attention, in a line. Line up from here to that door, please. Shoulder to shoulder, just like you're falling in for duty. Because you are. I want to give us a good visual here. Line up all the way to the door, guys, all the way to the door. And up here, go ahead and come all the way up to here, Alex. Right to there, call all the way up here. Go ahead and come on up. We got more guys. Let's have more space. Picture this line. There we go. Picture this line. All those people that have died, military and law enforcement, since the inception of our country for freedom. Picture this line, 580 miles long. That's how long this line would be if you lined up every person who has died for freedom since our country was founded. 580 miles. That starts at the border of Blaine, where Blaine steps into Canada, and it goes all the way down to the border of California. Men standing shoulder to shoulder, side by side, giving their lives for one thing, freedom. Freedom. Aren't you glad that we have freedom? But that tells us something. Is freedom free? That's the thing that we need to realize, is that freedom is not free. It is a beautiful, blessed gift, but it is not a free gift. It is a gift that has a price. Thank you, men. You may be seated. We have the privilege of being citizens of a country that has not known anything but freedom since its birth. No one in this room, as an American, has never not known freedom. And yet our country has paid and continues to pay a dear price to preserve that freedom. Ronald Reagan said this, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same." In reality, our freedom has had a high price. And the reality is our freedom in America even is a fragile thing that is constantly under attack. And it's something to be aware of. But all these lofty verses, the idea of freedom and liberty, those didn't begin with our country. They find their fountainhead in God Himself. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is the freedom that comes from God also had a remarkable price. And it yields remarkable fruits. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll look at the scriptures today about that. Heavenly Father God, I thank you so much that we can stand here without fear and preach the word and gather together and assemble, Lord, to consider the things that are important to you. God, let us push out of our minds the things that are important to us and replace them with the high and lofty things that are important to you. God, our lives, our minds can be distracted by the most trivial of things. We can be annoyed by something simple. We can be irritated by that which is insignificant. So God, we would need your help today to be focused on that which is eternal, that which is greater, that which is the greatest. I praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. The first thing I want to talk about is that true freedom comes from truth. It comes from truth. There are many a despot over the face of this planet who has promised freedom with a lie and given instead totalitarianism or despotism or tyranny instead. Real freedom comes from truth. John chapter 8, please with me, turn there to John chapter 8. Look at verse 31 and 32, please, with me, of John chapter 8. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed." And then he says this, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You see the correlation. You can't have freedom without the truth. The truth of God. And in verse 36, he goes on, he expounds upon that. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." That is not a fragile freedom. That is not one that can pass away from you. You see, real freedom comes from truth about God, from understanding and accepting ultimate truth. The truth about God, the truth about His Son, the truth about redemption, the truth about sin, the truth about ourselves, the truth about judgment, the truth about wrath, the truth about hell, the truth about heaven. Only when we really can grab those things, which comes only to a redeemed mind, will we truly be free. Until then, we will be prisoners of a lot of different things. You can look free and be completely caged on the inside. You can be caged by fear. You can be caged by worry. You can be in chains and bondage of addiction and materialism and covetousness or lust or greed or any of those things. You can be burning up with anger, eaten alive by bitterness, and look fine on the outside. But true freedom comes from truth, the truth about God. The truth about who He is, what He's done, what He wants, and what he's going to do. You see, that's where it begins. And that's why a relationship with Jesus Christ is so important. If you don't know Christ, you don't know truth. If you don't know truth, you don't have freedom. You are still in chains of bondage. Now, we can decorate our chains and make them look good. We can even give them virtuous names, like My Choice, like Alternative Lifestyle, like just something different. But the reality is they're still chains. They're still chains. So we need to remember that. The foundation, Jesus said unto them in John chapter 14, verse 6, you probably know it, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. That's the truth that we have to grab first. We can't get to God without going through Christ. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, and nobody else. And until we embrace Jesus Christ, we'll never know the truth. And when we do know the truth, then we have freedom. Freedom from sin, from its penalty. Freedom from sin, from its power. Freedom from fear and anxiety and worry. That does not mean we don't sometimes run back to them. It does not mean that we sometimes don't still harbor them. We sometimes let them in. But the fact of the matter is, they're not part of who we are to be. And we can be free from them. Real freedom is built upon the foundation of truth. Turn to Romans chapter 8 with me, please. Romans chapter 8. See what happens, the deliverance we receive. Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You have been born again. You are a spiritual being in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Free. It has no power over me anymore. Freedom, the exemption of the children of God from all the adverse power that would exercise control over our will. Freedom to access the presence, power, and peace of God. You see, I don't have to be a slave to sin. That's the best freedom I could ever hope for. When I am tempted, I can say no. I can know when my thinking is wrong. I can know when my sight is off. I have the freedom to know the truth and to walk in the truth. In the same way that we as American citizens oftentimes neglect our freedom, we as Christians neglect our freedom. We neglect it. Should we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Our freedom to not be under the power of sin gives us the freedom to choose something different. And that's so important for us. The next thing I want to point out is that true freedom brings liberty. The power to choose. Liberty is the power to choose. The power to make a choice about something. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Before we go there, I want to just say one thing that the Lord's just impressed upon my heart just even since preparing the message, and that is this. The Bible calls us to earnestly contend for the faith. And that doesn't just mean in theological arguments, okay? We live in a day and in an age right now when civil discourse is such that certain people with certain views will make statements as though they're morally high ground when they are not. And when you and I are in a setting where we're part of the setting, we're part of the meeting, we're part of the conversation, and someone says something that is not true, don't stay silent. Don't stay silent. Ladies, when you're someplace and some lady stands up and purports to speak for all women from a feminist point of view. I challenge you and encourage you to gently stand up and say, you don't speak for me. You are not my voice. But if you don't, that's the presumption. If a guy says, you don't speak for my wife, then he's just viewed as being chauvinistic. But if the lady says, you don't speak for me. I did not give you permission to be my voice. That is not how I feel. You see, what happens is, and that's not being argumentative, that's just simply standing up for the truth. We have the opportunity to do that. When you're at work and someone says something that is not true, it's just not true. The Bible says God hates a liar. He hates it. And if you know the truth, share the truth. Lovingly, kindly, humbly, but share the truth. I disagree with that. I see that differently. Because God's word's really clear on that issue. Okay? If we don't, and I'm not talking about doing anything unseemly or rude. I'm talking about simply standing up for the truth. Speaking the truth in love. True freedom now brings liberty. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. And then look at verse 13, just down to the little further down. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You see, we have been given liberty. The slave market of sin in Greek culture, Greeks used an official legal function to free a slave. A slave had to be purchased by a god. So the owner would go to a temple, and they would give to that god or that deity with the idea that would be buying the slave's freedom. The slave couldn't provide the money. The master had to pay it to the temple treasury in the presence of the slave. At that point, a document was drawn up that read, payment for freedom. Once received, no one could enslave that person again because they belonged to the God who had bought them. Guess what? We belong to the God who has bought us. And no one can enslave us again. And that slave, once freed, had the liberty to choose. Before, they couldn't choose where they lived or what they did on any given day. Now they had all kinds of choices. You see, God has given true freedom brings liberty. I am at liberty now to choose to serve. I am at liberty to choose to be generous. I am at liberty to choose to give, to sacrifice, to love. I don't have to worry about what people think. If the Lord lays on my heart to give $10 to the guy at the corner, I can do that. I can do that. God has given us this amazing thing called liberty. We know the truth, it's Jesus. That knowledge brings freedom from the power and penalty of sin, and we are now able to exercise the liberty that God has given us to serve others. What a freedom. What a gift. You see, we have this amazing, when you're not saved, there is a whole segment of thinking you don't have. There's a whole list of possibilities you don't consider. What would God have me to do with this? How would God want me to use this? What would God have me to do in this situation? God, should I say something? Should I not? Should I invite somebody? Should I not? I mean, we have the liberty to make choices. What good is liberty without a choice? That's what it is. It's the expression of choice. And God has given us amazing. I can choose to give something away and feel good about it. I can choose to say yes when it doesn't make sense to say yes. And I can choose to serve God when it doesn't even seem convenient to the world. You see, we have liberty. We have choices we don't even think about. Opportunities we never consider because we know the Lord. Colossians chapter 3. An amazing, amazing book. I mean, I know all of them are. Colossians has more to say about Christ per page than any other book in the New Testament in terms of its power.
And Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity," or love, "which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." I want to point out a few words there. It says, put on, in verse 12. It says in verse 13, "so also do ye." It says, put on, in verse 14. And it says, "and let the peace of God rule," in verse 15. You see, all of those are choices. You see that? They're all choices we have. You would not have had those choices unless you were a Christian. I don't have the choice to put on Christ if I'm not His. I don't have the choice to do all things with love as my motive if I'm not His. You see, these verses represent choices. I can let the peace of God rule in my heart. That's a choice I have. If you're not a Christian, you don't have that choice. You'd have no peace. Because right now you're on your way to hell. Not because God wants you to go there, but because you have not chosen Christ. You see, the idea that this is one of the biggest lies. I stand over here before I accept Christ. It's like, I'm doing it my way. I'm living in poverty. This is poverty. This is slavery. This is no choice. This is no liberty. And somehow Satan has deceived us to believe that by surrendering to God, a good and merciful and great God, that somehow I'm going to be enslaved. What a lie. Jesus came to free us. "I have come that they might have life, and life more abundant." Not just life, not just I'm going to get you out of prison and leave you destitute on the side of the road. I'm going to give you life abundant. Over here. Folks, we have choice. I have the choice to put on a new man. I have the choice to put off the old man. I have the choice to let peace rule. I have the choice to love people in a godly way. That is liberty I never had before I was saved. And neither did you. But what do we do with it? What good is liberty if it's not exercised? What good is it? Is it intended for me to serve myself? No. The Bible says don't use liberty for occasion to serve the flesh, but instead use it to serve others. Folks, the very fact that you and I get to choose between right and wrong with knowledge and awareness is liberty. That when we are tempted, there's a way of escape, and I can choose it. That's liberty. That when I feel the burden of the Holy Spirit, I can pray. That's liberty. You see, liberty is the fruit of truth. And lastly, true freedom in Jesus Christ has the highest of prices. We should never forget that. As we think of a line of men and women standing 580 miles long, let that, if you think about it, go home, pull up a map on the computer and say, "I want to drive from Blaine, Oregon to Yreka, California." Or from Blaine, Washington, and put that line on the map and look at that line. That's how long that line of sacrifice would be to keep the freedoms that we have that are not even permanent. They're only promised for today, and every day there are assaults upon it because Satan hates it. He's not the friend of freedom. All right? Take a look at that. That's a high price, but that's nothing compared to the price that was paid for our salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When I was back in Washington, D.C., I went to the Law Enforcement Police Officers Memorial, and on the stones around that plaza are etched the names of every police officer that ever died in line of duty. thousands and thousands of them. And I walked the cemetery at Arlington in Virginia, headstone after headstone. And I could not help, as I walked the fields of Gettysburg, but almost feel the sacrifice in those areas that was made for our freedom. But that pales in significance to Christ. It's a small thing compared to Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are bought with a price. What was the price that was paid? Well, Isaiah 53 says it was these things. For Christ, it was to be despised and rejected. For Christ, it was to be considered a man of sorrows. For Christ, it was to be a man acquainted with grief. For Christ, it was a person who bore our griefs. For Christ, it was a person who carried our sorrows. A person who people looked upon and they considered him smitten of God. The Son of God, who was sent by the Father. They viewed him as being the one that was smitten. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment of our peace with God, was on him. His stripes are our healing. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted and yet silent. And he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. That is the price that was paid for our salvation. The Bible said that if they had recognized him as the Lord of glory, they would not have crucified him. That did not change the fact that he was the Lord of glory, the only begotten of the Father, the beautiful, the perfect, the holy, sinless Lamb of God. And that's the price that was paid for our freedom. And you can't even look that up on the computer. It won't fit on your screen. It's too big. It's too great. He endured betrayal by those closest to him. He endured mockery, humiliation, and false accusation. He endured rejection by his own people. He came into his own, and his own received him not. He wept over his own people in Jerusalem, and they wouldn't let him. They wouldn't come to him. He endured incredible physical pain. He endured abandonment by his Father when all the sin of the whole world was placed upon him. And he bore upon his shoulders the weight of all man's sin. That's what paid for you. And that's what paid for me. You know what? From where I stand, that was too high a price for me. Because, I'll be honest, I'm not worthy. I'm not worth that. I'm not even close to worth that. And neither are you. Think about what God paid to give you freedom. It should break your heart. It should break your heart. Folks, we got to stop acting like we're Christians. We got to stop playing like we're church. The price that was paid was too high. The call upon our life is too great. The world is too dark. The wheat is, the field is too white. The need is too sudden. So it's too sudden. We got to stop playing with our freedom and start living it, and use our liberty to serve God and others. True freedom comes from truth. That only comes from Christ. True freedom brings liberty, the ability and the power and the opportunity to choose to serve the living God. And never, ever, ever let us forget that true freedom has an immeasurable price tag. God has paid an unspeakable price. He's called an unspeakable gift. That's why the author of Hebrews is inspired to ask the question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How is it even possible? How is it even possible? I close with this verse. I'll just read it for you. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, Galatians 5:1, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the liberty that comes through the freedom of Jesus Christ. And let us, like the founding fathers and each one that came after them, we have freedom today because everybody from them to now has protected it. Well, we have freedom in the gospel because the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. And the church that was born at Pentecost, let us be the same church that lives today. We can turn our world upside down for God, or God is not who He says He is. God can do so much with a willing, devoted, obedient heart. But we cannot play Christian. We can't do it. Our dependence must not be divided. Our devotion must not be divided. And our passion, the thing that moves us and compels us, must be Christ and Christ alone. Because God says that Christ is to have preeminence in all things. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, I thank you this day for the freedom that we have in this country, but God, I thank you so much more for the freedom that we have in you. God, thank you for the freedom and the liberty to choose to serve you. The freedom and the liberty to choose Christ. The freedom and liberty to choose to put on righteousness and put away those filthy clothes of sin. The freedom to love and the freedom to serve and the freedom to give and the freedom to care. God, I just thank you and praise you for the liberty and the freedom that comes through your Son. And Lord, I pray that you would impress upon us with the most amazing magnitude, the weight and the cost of that freedom, that we might never take it lightly. I thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Please stand with me as we turn to 646. 646, stand up for Jesus. And if God has touched your heart today, He's saying to you, hey, it's time to get back on the battle line. It's time to stand in the gap again. Then I just encourage you to do what God's calling you to do. Come up here, pray, whatever you've got to do. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, man, this can be the best Independence Week you've ever had. Because you can know freedom from sin and from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin, and then you'll have the liberty that comes from Jesus Christ to know peace and joy and all the goodness of Him, and to celebrate that and the freedoms that we have in this country all together. Amen. Because we really can't appreciate the freedom we have here as a citizen unless we first appreciate the true cost of true freedom as a Christian. Amen. 646. Man, woman, or child, come if God's called you to.
Stand up, boy.